Hi, Mara. How are you?
Hi, beautiful. How are you?
I'm great, gorgeous rock star. You and I just hit it off from the second we said hello, and we've just got this vibe and energy with us that I have been so excited about this podcast. It's going to go into crazy spaces. But first and foremost, for the audience who does not know who you are, can you just explain a little bit about sort of where you were, what you're doing today, personally, professionally, whatever you want folks to know about you? Obviously, we're going to have it all in the description below, but do tell a little bit of the exciting places and spaces you've been.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, thank you for having me. I love you. You're definitely my soul sister. I could like every time we talk, I always feel I'm like, oh my God, this I'm where did, I can't. The universe must have just united us for some reason, and we're gonna figure it out, whatever it is. But
I love you too, and I have the same feelings for you.
my background is very
Go
similar
ahead,
to yours.
your background.
So mine is very similar to yours, as you know. I come from middle America. I was raised by a single parent. So I was raised by my mom, who is a strong, she very strong woman. And the way that I was raised, which I'm sure some people can relate, is I did not know that there was a choice to go to college. Like I thought that's what everybody did. And my trajectory was already written out for me. I was going to be a lawyer because that was the only acceptable career, that or a doctor. And that was just kind of what I thought I was supposed to do. And I did that. I went to school. I got a master's degree and an undergraduate degree in criminal justice. So I thought I was on my way to law school. That's where I thought I was going. That's what I thought I was, that was what I was bred to do. And then unfortunately, the economy hit in 2008. And at that time, I was newly married. I had my first child, my daughter, Lily. And unfortunately, we lost everything. My ex-husband, who was in tourism, we had businesses all over the Orlando area. And when 2008 hit, that was unfortunate. And we lost six businesses in 6 months. So at that time, I had just received my master's degree. I thought I was going to law school, and there was no money for me to go to law school. And I tried. I went into corporate America. I did a little bit with social services. I tried to formulate a relationship with corporate America, but it just did not work out well for me at all. I had no romance there. I realized very quickly that I was either worth $35,000 a year or I was overqualified or, they just weren't hiring. And that's a really scary feeling for someone that at least thinks that they're highly educated and had an ample amount of opportunity in front of them. And at that point, to make long story short, one of the highest bills I had in my home were my health insurance premiums. So, like a good wife, I went online, I made an inquiry. Girl came, sold me health insurance, and this girl, I did not know it at that time, but she ended up giving my name and number to her boss. I guess she thought that I would do well with sales. Now, mind you, I had never sold anything in my entire life, not even brownies. I nothing, zero. I couldn't, I never even like nothing, zero. So her boss calls me, invites me into this interview, which, to be honest with you, I had nothing going on. So that's why I went. And I go to this interview. I had nothing. I really had nothing going on. So I go to
You're
this
like, yeah,
interview.
I'm free, sure.
Yeah, let me look in my calendar. Yeah, good. Yep, Monday, 9 a.m. Perfect. I'm going. So I walk in and I walk into like this auditorium thing. And it looked like a multi-level marketing scam. That's what it looked like to me. There was all these people in there, and there was like this guy at the front of the room, and he's explaining health insurance. And I'm like, what is going on here? Please shut up. So finally he stops talking and I jet out and he finds me at the end of the hallway and he's like, well, what do you think? And I was like, think about what? N no, like I no, I'm going to absolutely no way. And the guy keeps talking, and he talked about this concept that really resonated with me called residual income. And it made sense that if I worked really hard on the front end, ultimately my money would work for me and I wouldn't have to work for my money. So that's how my journey in the health insurance industry started. And again, I knew nothing about health insurance. I didn't know, I knew people had it. I guess you went to a doctor with it. I knew nothing. And I went into this field not even knowing that it was a male-dominated industry. I had no idea, and I didn't know what to expect. I didn't even know it was door-to-door. I didn't even know that you had to pay to get a I knew zero. When I tell you zero, I knew nothing. So here I am. I go in, and I get hired, of course, you know, because they're probably hiring everybody off the streets. Who knows? I don't know. They made me feel special, but I don't think so. I think they were hiring everybody. And I remember going home.
But anyways.
I remember going home and I tell my ex-husband this and my mom, they were like, you've never sold anything in your entire life and you're going to sell health insurance. Like, this is the craziest thing I've ever heard. So I get into this field and I started door to door. So I would have to drive, and I live in Florida. And if you live in Florida, you can't walk anywhere. You literally have to drive business to business. And at that time, there was no maps, Google Maps. So you had to MapQuest everything. So I'd have to map out my appointments. But the kicker on all of this was, is if appointment B canceled, you still had to go because I couldn't get to C without going to B. So I'm going into homes. I'm going into businesses. You name it. I mean, I've sold insurance in the craziest places you can possibly imagine. But the funny part about this is I did horrible. In fact, I did 6 months of nothing, a lot of nothing. I did a lot of driving around and I could not figure out what the problem was. So I had this moment of like, I think everybody has this moment of like an epiphany, or I call it the aha moment. And
Right?
You have this moment where you're kind of like, all right, well, this is either going to go big or go home. That was kind of, I'd never failed at anything. And I was quickly failing and drowning. So I went to an appointment. I did not sell the appointment. And I called my leader, my manager at the time. And I said, I'm done. You suck. The leads suck. Everybody sucks. It's not me. I'm the best. Everyone sucks. And she ran through this whole thing. And I realized at that moment that it wasn't everybody else. It was me. It was 100% me. It was my attitude. It was just everything about it. I wasn't fully bought in. I was one foot in, one foot out. And I thought that I had better things to do, I guess. And that moment changed everything for me. That was the moment, my aha moment. I ended up going from making zero money to a six-figure income that first year. So I was 25 years old. So I was 25. I was able to support my family. I ended up getting divorced. Obviously, you know, the husband, whatever. I love him. I'm just kidding. But what ended up happening was I did very well. I started from the way bottom. And today I am the senior regional sales leader of an insurance company. I'm the second person to ever eclipse $1 billion in sales. Ironically, the first one is a woman who happens to be my best friend, but not likely because it's a male-dominated industry. But one thing we were able to do was change the entire trajectory of this company. We went from a predominantly white male company to a very diverse company where today there are still male dominated, but there's all different types of ethnicities. There's all different types of people that we've come across. And for me, that's really why I've stayed for 15 years in this industry. It's not about the money anymore. It's really positively impacting every single person that I meet, which has led me now to my mission. And my mission is, yes, I love men. I'm not a man hater, but I see so many women sell themselves short of what the possibility is. And I've spoken about this before, but you know, for so many years, women were defined by their gender. You know, they were defined as homemakers or housewives or whatever the case may be. But as a woman, and I'm sure you can relate because you are so much better than, you're so much cooler than me, but I think
that's
we both
not
can,
true.
But you are so much cooler. But, you know, as women, I think we can, there's not enough of us out there that feel compelled to play on that field with a man, but we offer just as much, if not more. And there's so many things that women bring to the table. And that's really where I'm at, is that I want to spread that message. I want more women to feel compelled to be everything. They don't just have to be a mom. They don't just have to be a wife. They don't have to be defined to one single thing. And that's where I'm at.
And regardless,
and I'm trying to spread
gender,
the message.
100%.
Yeah, it doesn't
matter. You know
matter.
What? I always say, regardless of gender. And I think we've got a little bit of a delay on our podcast, so I never mean to speak over you, but I've been just, you know, going, okay, let me in, because I'm going to laugh at this podcast, you and I are going to look back at this 3 months, 6 months, 24 months, and you and I are just going to rock it. And you are very cool. I'm just going to say that out of the gate, but you're a rock star. So we're going to do amazing things together because our mission and our vision is so incredibly aligned when it comes to that male dominated space or spaces that are just not traditional for women to enter. And just like you, I mean, I never went into, you know, auto shop when I was gosh knows how old in grade 10, thinking I want to do this because it's all boys. But, you know, we get shipped off to home ec and sewing and cooking, and the boys, you know, go to auto and get to rebuild cars. I'm like, you know, and I tell this story to anybody who will listen, and I tell it often, that I went to my principal's office, like, I don't know, 2-3 weeks in a row, just wanting to get in, not because I was a girl, because I equated knowing how a car operated and worked and rebuilding a car as independence and something I wanted to do. And I didn't want to let society or other people let me dictate to me who I would become. And so many women, unfortunately, they do fall into that sort of category, which is why I want, you know, you and I and all the great things that we have planned to do, to let women know that you go where your heart is and where you're passionate to do, like wherever your passion takes you, it doesn't matter. And if there's not a space at the table for you, persist, you know, create your own seat, create your own table, however you want to sort of word it. And that's why I think you're so phenomenal. Number one, I don't even think you understand that being a female in the insurance industry is so unique, but it also paves the way for a lot of other, you know, younger leaders, younger girls and women of all ages and all stages. It gives them choices that if that's what interests them, they get to go there. Right. And so I feel like you are already a leader, but I know you're wanting to take this sort of, and you and I have talked many times, to a stage where you can affect, like you've affected a lot of people in the industry, but you want to take it further and affect people all over the world with your story. And like you said, it, first of all, I was laughing my head off some of the things you were saying. You're like, haven't sold a thing in, you know, years. And, you know, it's the same for a lot of people, but you made it work. You're educated, you know, you work, you've got that old school mentality and work ethic, which is very, very important. You're comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's a huge thing.
I've learned to be, I think that's been my mantra my entire life. I didn't even understand that that's what it was. You know, how many times, I don't think that anybody, you know, people exude confidence, but it doesn't come from nowhere. It comes from a really deep place of being uncomfortable because you're forced into that. Being in a male dominated industry, from being an only child, being in situations that you're forced to adapt and be a chameleon. Absolutely. So yes, I guess now I am. I have no choice, right? You have no choice when life throws you curveballs. What do you do?
Well, you do, but people always have choices. I mean, you could have, you know, done many other things that what you did. So yeah. I really applaud the fact that you stepped up for you, right? Because sometimes we step up for our kids or for our family, and I know that's all part of it. And same here for sure. But I think, you know, for me, because, you know, I teach Rockstar Confidence, it's sort of a belief system that you have within yourself that, like what you said, well, what choice do I have? You know, I would almost take it one step further and frame it like that was your choice, right? And you chose to believe in yourself, and you knew that if shit went to heck in a handbasket, you were still going to be okay. And you'd still come through on the other side because you had your back, right? And you believed, like, no matter what happens here, I'm going to give it, you know, the old college try. But if things don't work out, that's okay too. I'm going to learn from this and just move on. A lot of people, unfortunately, they don't have the family, the friends, the backing, or the confidence in themselves to say, you know what, I'm going to try this. It might not be for me, might not be for me today, but let me try, as opposed to saying, you know, this is the boys' club, this is the girls' club. And I just, one more thing, I'm going to back up on something you said, which is so important. A lot of people will come to me, especially men and boys, will come to me and say, so are you one of those feminist people? And I just love the question. And, you know, people are like, oh, that's so offensive. I'm like, no, it's fun, because I play with it. I'm like, well, what do you mean by that? Right? Because I know what they mean, but I put them in the, and they're like, well, you know, and I'm like, do you mean like, do I burn my bra? I'm like, no, the girls still need the bra. So tell me what you really want to know. Like, do you guys like hate men and bash men? I'm like, oh my God, opposite. I'm like, I love men. I live with 5 of them, work with 24 of them. And there are so many incredible men like on different teams that I am a part of that are respectful and kind, and they champion you. And I know you have the same, not only at home, but in your team. So the answer, super easy and simple, is no, we don't hate men. We just feel like we bring something to the party that maybe you don't. And they bring something very important to the party that we don't, because we're, I always say we're different species, right? And so it's okay to have a difference, because you need that for innovation and for growth. So just to clear the table on the fact, if we love men, I do, and I know you do too.
No, we're not man haters. We're not burning our bras. That's not what we do at all. Zero. We love men. We embrace them.
No bra burning.
In the space and feel confident about being in that space.
Yes. And also for me, it's always about, through story sharing, even your story, I know is going to resonate with so many people in the audience and so many of our very, very loyal community members. But I feel like it's these stories that are so, you might think, and I did too in the beginning, it's like, well, it's just my story. I don't really like, what's the big deal? And they're like hanging on, well, so how did you do this? And how did you whatever? And I'm like, well, Nike stole my slogan, which is really not true. But I'm like, you just do it. Like, I don't know, like how I did it. Yes, I had 4 kids. You know, you just do it. But you innately have to have that belief in yourself. And so I guess that's my question to you. I was also raised by a similar mom. I had 2 parents, but this is my 2 parents, whole nother podcast for another time. I love them dearly, but you know, I had that strong role model in my life, my mother. But what about the women that don't have that? I wonder. And so that's where I feel like people like you and I come in and say, it's okay if you don't have that in your family, because there's women like us and many other very strong, predominant, amazing rock star women that will tell them like, yes, you can do this. So what do you have, if there's somebody out there that's listening to you now, that's doubting themselves because they don't have that role model in their life, that's telling them that, yes, they can. What would you say to her?
So what's funny is you just said my slogan that I stole also from Nike. I can't. Every time you say something, like, I say the same thing. You know, what I would say is the
separated
same thing.
Separated at birth. Yeah. I'm convinced we were separated at birth. But anyways, okay, go ahead.
Now I have to be really creative. So besides just do it, is my, you know, my wholehearted, my sound advice is the only person in the way of anything is you. And there's a lot of things in life that we can't control, right? There's so many things, but there are certain things that we can't control. So I always say control the controllables. So it's how you react to something. It's, you know, if you're kind of hesitant on something and you don't want to take that leap, take that bound. I mean, look, what do you have to lose? I mean, really, what do you have to lose? You fail. Okay. You know how many times I failed? You have to fail in order to succeed, and never look at it as a failure. Mm-hmm. Nothing is a failure as long as a lesson is taken from there and you implement that lesson that is learned to take a positive approach to propel you forward. So I would say you don't need a strong female. You need a strong voice, your own inner voice, to really push you forward in the times that you're kind of hesitant. So the only person getting in the way of you is you, besides just do it.
Love that. And you just do it. Just do it. And that, it's funny. That's why I think we get, one of the many reasons we get along so well is our philosophies are so similar. But, you know, I have a lot of women that when I do keynotes will come to me. I mean, I did this incredible event, We Connect in Denver, and I go back to that. It was probably the most powerful event that I've ever spoken at. I had women that had come to me crying. They were saying, like, the things that you said have just taken me to that next level of whatever. And I was thinking, okay, I'm not putting myself down at all, but I think I'm a pretty good keynote speaker. But I sort of took it that one step further. And what was so impactful about what I said? And it wasn't so much, okay, as I said, I do think that I do have a good keynote, but it was the, what I picked up from that is the need that women need to hear and be surrounded by other female founders and entrepreneurs that have gone through the struggle, that have gone through tough times and failure, rejection, hell yeah, you know, so many times. And it's okay. It's part of the journey, part of the growth. But what really got to me is they were so genuine in what they were saying and their emotions. And, you know, I mean, our world is so, you know, kind of what it's going through right now, that there is a lot of struggle. But it was just the fact that sometimes people just need to hear, no, like what you said, failure's necessary for success. Like you have to, I always really change the narrative, you know, rejection for me, I look at, I don't even really use the word rejection. For me, rejection is redirection. Failure is growth and lessons, right? And it's sort of like, you know, when you keep getting hit, and we all do that, even rock stars like you and I, we get that. It's sort of like, okay, universe, what are you trying to tell me? And sometimes I really believe this, if things are happening over and over and it's, you know, doors are slamming, things are, you know, going south in your personal or professional life, means you're not paying attention. It means the universe is trying to get you to see something. Yeah. And Oprah, who's one of my very near and dear mentors, says all the time, when you don't know what to do, do nothing. Meaning like sit in silence and do nothing and it will come to you. And so sometimes stepping back from everything, it will give you a different perspective, right? Yep. It's not life trying to, like, you know, cut you out at the knees and take you out. It's about the universe. And I'm very, like you said, it's all about mindset. And it's very much for me about energy. Just like when you and I get together and we're all like energetic, it's, we feed off of each other. And so if something isn't jiving in your life, doesn't matter what it is, if it's business, if it's a personal relationship, if it's a sales thing, if it's whatever it is, step back and you'll see things in a different light and you might come up with other answers. I mean, you might have a really bad strategy or something that's not jiving in your business. Learn to zig when you're supposed to zag. You have to know how to pivot. All of those, you know, business things. But the most important thing, like what you said about having that aha moment, is listening and watching what is happening around you. Do you think like, does that sort of ring true to you?
Yeah. It's funny that you say that. So one of the biggest things that I try to consider when I do anything, right? I don't ever like to, I usually am impulsive, but what I've learned is being impulsive doesn't work. And the other thing is, like, if I'm, same thing, things aren't going right, or I need to make a decision, or somebody comes to me with a problem, I never, ever, ever give an answer right away, ever. I always wait. I wait it out 24 hours minimum, because the way that you feel right now is never the way that you feel the next day. Never. Because when you are impulsive and you're emotionally, and we're emotionally driven, women are, we're emotional creatures. So my initial reaction is whatever it is, you know, it's probably emotional. I like to take a step back always, because when you take a step back, you see a different perspective. So I'll revisit whatever it is the next day. It'll take me a few days, but you're right. When it comes to me, it comes to me. It definitely, it's there. It's very present. But when I'm trying to force a decision or I'm trying to force a reaction, it's just not the right time. So taking a step back, looking and revisiting is something that I would tell anybody if they're trying to make a decision.
I love that. And you know, you talk about, you know, being emotional beings. And the word emotional intelligence and whatnot, that means very different. There's a different meaning for everybody. When I look at emotional intelligence, it is exactly what you said. It is about knowing yourself. And if you are an emotional or a reactive person, then yes, take the time. But if you're also like banging your head against the wall saying, you know, nothing's changing, right? Or whatever the case may be, it's so important to be in tune with who you are, what your mindset is, and what sort of emotion you're attaching to a business decision or a personal decision, because I think it changes the, it sort of changes for me, the sort of the playing field, if you will, because whatever you're trying to make the decision on, let's even say if it's a, it's a personal decision, you have to be able to come at it in a way that what, how is that going to benefit myself, and not in a, again, not in a selfish, egotistical way, but how's that going to benefit me, my family, my business? How is that going to be beneficial for the people that I'll be servicing? So I think taking a step back, it's just a huge, like what you said, it's a huge plus not to make impulsive decisions. Is that, what would you say would be sort of your go-to when you are in a situation, let's say, where you're going to either expand, grow your business, do, you know, something major? Do you, like, obviously we both do our R&D, we do all the things that are very important, but I always tell people it's not always about finding out the how, and you, you and I can relate to this, even our relationship, it's finding your why. And so it's, when people are, there's this whole, you know, what is your why movement? I get that. But I think you don't always have to know how. You don't know how to, you don't always don't have to know how to get there. And I'm not saying to be impulsive, but if you know your why, the how will work out. What do you think about that?
I, you know this, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I'm always saying I'm just winging it out here. It's, and it's true. I mean, yes, of course you have to have guided direction, and sometimes you have to make, a lot of the times you have to make calculated decisions when it comes to something big and financial. I'd never tell anybody just fly by the seat of your pants, but you're right. When I would say when your intent is correct, right? When your why is intact, when you're looking at the we versus the me, so there's things to consider, you're right. You're not always going to have a direct roadmap to get there. And even if you look at a map, I use this example all the time. People are like, well, aren't you like calculated and don't you have, well, the truth is no, I'm not always calculated. I'm just winging it out here in this world. But, you know, just like a map, there's so many different paths to get there. They're not necessarily wrong paths, but you know, eventually you're going to get there when you can see the direction of where you're headed. And you might have to take some twists and turns along the way. You know, I'm not, again, I'm not super calculated. I'm not, I would say like my husband is very calculated. He likes to like cross his T's and dot his I's. I'm not doing that. I'm not. Because you don't always have time either to do that. So it's getting, you know, the best advice I can give somebody is that, you know, what, you know, the way there's, they call it a guiding light for a reason. And they, and the reason why is because the guiding light is there to guide you. It's not there to give you a direct definitive path. Cause I don't think anything in life is definitive. It can always change. So yes, exactly what you said. I am going according to my why, and I'm going to the bigger picture, and I am considering the we before the me a lot of the times.
I love that, the we before the me. And that's, you know, one of the many things I love so much about you is you do certain things, and the things in the sort of the path that we are both and the road we're going down, it is bigger than us. It is about legacy. It is about impact. It is about so many other things than thyself. And I feel that, you know, the service of others, people who I really, really connect with, they are about serving other people. Of course, there is the path that you get there, but your why, and, you know, I'll share with, if you want me to, what you sent me when I asked you, what is your why? Can I tell, say what you sent me? You sent me the most beautiful, heartfelt picture, which is a picture of your children. And, you know, for women or men or anybody who does not have, and they don't have children, whether, you know, it's for your aging parents, whether it's for a charity, whether it's for your partner, really doesn't matter. But your why has to be something that is so embedded into your soul and your heart. And then you just know it's going to work out, right? And so when I saw that, I'm like, this gal knows where it's at, right? Because, you know, and again, it's not about money. It's for me, it's never been about money. I build businesses based on connection, based on relationships, and based on how I can serve and help other people. And I think you are the exact same way. So I'm going to come full circle to what you sent me. What do you want your legacy to be? And I know it's a big question and you might have not thought about it, but I bet you I know the answer if you don't.
So the legacy I want to leave behind is I want my children to know that number one, income is the outcome. That's not the objective in anything that you do. That's 100%. And I want to build a foundation that's something that I'm proud of, something that they're proud of, and something that will continue to be passed on. And that is servitude. That's the attitude of servitude. That's giving back, and that's creating something that's bigger than yourself, however that looks. And for me, it's, I want to positively impact every single person that I meet, whether it is male or female. And that's the legacy I want to live. I want to lead. I want to live, and I want to live with authenticity. And I want to leave that behind to my children and my children's children and so forth.
I love that. And you know what? And I'm the same. And you know what? It is all about service, but it's also, and I can see this in you, because it's a pretty loaded question when you think of your legacy and what you want it to be, because I think you and I kind of strive for way up here and everything. But I also think, you know, this is terrible to say, but I think I've sadly gone to quite a few funerals lately, but it's sort of like what people will say about you when you're not here. And I always want people to know that I was somebody who loved and loved hard and who believed in everybody and kindness and all of that other stuff. And I think you're the same. I'm just adding to what you said, because I think you and I, when we think about legacy, it's all of that as well. But the thing that I really love about you is you live that way. You don't just pay lip service to it, right? You can see it in the work that you do. And that is so incredibly important, because I feel that people can say, you know, you can look a certain way on social media and Instagram and Snapchat and TikTok and all the other great platforms that are out there. But I feel like you have to live that every day, or else people see through it. People see through standing beside, you know, the shiny car or being on the boat and, oh, I'm so happy. Yet, you know, they're falling apart inside. So I love the fact that you're very authentic. You're transparent with your journey. And you're like, look, it wasn't one that was calculated. It wasn't one that was, you know, necessarily my path, but this is how I got there. Because I remember back in the day, people would hold things so close to their chest, especially women, because it was hard to get to the top, right? It was hard to succeed. Mm-hmm. So they wouldn't share. But now there's so many incredible women like yourself that are actually sharing their experience. And, you know, I'm sure that you are, you know, creating so many things for other women that aren't even close to, let's say, where you're at. But how does that make you feel that you know that you're impacting other women and men? Because it's not, again, I always talk sort of, yes, our sort of main people that will come and see us may be women. But I also speak in a lot of situations that is very male predominant. Yeah. What do you say, like, what is your kind of thought knowing that you're changing these people's lives? How does that make you feel?
I mean, that's what I believe that I was put on this earth to do. I do believe that. I believe I'm here to serve a purpose that is greater than myself. And I know it sounds super cliche when I say that. So I want, you know, you talk about authenticity. So I think that's one thing that is, for so long, people didn't want to be authentic about a lot of things. And for, you know, for some people, I might not be their cup of tea. I'm okay with that. I'm 100% okay with not being your cup of tea. But one thing that you will get from me is you will get authenticity. I'm going to say whatever comes in my head is going to come popping out of my mouth with, of course, you know, with regard to being sincere and nice. But, you know, the biggest thing for me in general in changing people's lives is I want them to know that there is nothing extraordinary about me. There isn't. You know, and people, when you get to know me, you'll see that I deal with the same anxieties, the same insecurities. I always laugh. I'm like, you know, the hair on my head is probably not real, you know, my fake tan, but I'm okay with that as long as everybody else is being okay with authenticity. And when you start to live your life authentic, you start to see a huge difference in the trajectory of everything and being okay with that. So, you know, getting to change people's entire mind frames that they don't have to put up a facade. It is okay if you're suffering from anxiety. It's okay. Everybody else is too, you know? It is okay if you're insecure.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm insecure too. You know, this is the reality of it. So I love being authentic, and I love when people come to the realization and they're not fake about it. Just be real about it. And once they start to do that, I love to see that. I love people to shine and live their best life and their true authentic self. I hope that answered your question.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah. And as I said, I'm hearing my words come out of your mouth. It's kind of awesome and creepy and weird all at the same time, because we never planned this. We never talked about what exactly we were going to talk about. But you and I have such a similar mindset, and it was beautifully answered. And I'll just take it one step further too. When you talk about, you know, being authentic, you know, I think you're the same. Like, you can lay your head down at night and you can know not everybody is going to like who you are, what you stand for, and you're okay with that. But if you can lay your head down at night and say, I told the truth, my truth, I was authentic, I'm a kind person, then, you know, high five to you, because you've done more than most do, right? And yeah. So being authentic and being able to talk about it and be vulnerable, that is huge. I mean, you and I have had some awesome conversations, and I think we will do, like we talked about, do like a little mini series about all of this. But, you know, we talk about anxiety, and, you know, people like you and I think I'd shared with you, I was the girl that would skip in high school when it came to speeches. And guess what I do for a living now, right? Mm-hmm. I talk. And when Tony Robbins, as you know, is one of my mentors, and he said, you know, you were made for the big stages. I'm like, okay, clearly he doesn't, you know, I actually almost lost faith in the fact that he knew as much as he knew, because I was like, no way, it's never going to happen. I don't like to, I get nervous, I get anxious, you know, I'm sweating thinking about it. I feel my heart, you know, racing, and no. And he was just like, you know, that's even more reason, the fact that I know I'm right now. And I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever, right? Thank you. And smiled and went about my way. And it just kept in the back of my mind. And then when I saw him again, he said, because the thing you fear the most is typically the thing you want the most,
yes.
Right? And I think that's with you and I too, is like, who would have thought, right? And so was there ever a time that you were sort of like, you talk about anxiety openly, as I always do, you know, mental health, everybody suffers from something. I don't care who you are. If you say you don't, either you don't know it or you don't want to talk about it, and that's totally fine too. But was there a time that you suffered either from, like, say, anxiety or depression or something that you just knew, like, okay, this isn't going well for me right now, so I've got to get out of it? And if so, what did you do?
Oh, girl,
I'm getting too personal.
I suffer every. No, I suffer every day. It's an ongoing battle. That's what's really funny, is that I suffer literally every day from anxiety. And there's one thing that makes me extremely anxiety ridden is flying. I am terrified to fly. But the funny part is like I told you, I fly.
You fly everywhere.
I fly every 8 to 10 days. So, you know, like the anxiety, and I've spoken about this before, the anxiety is a part of who I am. And they say people that have anxiety have heightened awareness about what's going on. And that's why we're so anxiety ridden. But my advice is, and I've said this so many times, is don't let that anxiety control you. It will, if you let it.
Right.
And I know that sounds like a lot easier than you can possibly imagine, but you know what, like I'm about to fly in 7 hours, I'm about to get on that plane. And you know, it's a whole thing going into it. But if I don't get on that plane, then it's not just about me. I'm going to my other offices, and I know that there's other people there. So for anybody that is like anxious or they're suffering from something, just face it. Just do it. You know, I know it sounds horrible. I know it sounds scary, but the anticipation is always worse than the reality. Yeah, the anticipation, I think, is worse than what the reality is. That's the truth. Like, because once I'm on the plane and I'm going, I hate it, but it's okay. It's going to be okay. So just get, you know, it, every day, just get through it.
Yeah, and you just nailed it about, and it's funny because we have the same loves, dislikes, flying. Again, and I fly all the time, maybe not as often as you do, but it's the lead up. So the way that you talk about, and you know, we're not doctors and we're not minimizing that there is folks out there that suffer from extreme anxiety, but I do too. And it's a lot of it has to do, flying is one of them.
Yeah.
But it's situational, but it's also that self-talk. And like you said, you do it anyway, because you know, I mean, I always say fear is false evidence appearing real. You know, is there a chance the plane could crash? You and I had anyway, we won't even get into the conversation. It was hilarious of why we fly the way we fly and what our kind of thought process is. And you and I laugh about it because it's kind of like, how ridiculous, you're ridiculous. Listen to my ridiculousness, right? And as soon as you take the anxiety out of you, you laugh at it. You can say, hey, I know you're here. You can even name it, right? And say, hey, I know you're here. Bug off. I got to, you know, get onto a plane. But we can let that fear in our lives completely cripple us, or we can just do it and move through it. And it is not easy at all. It is hard. It is tough. It is so much, I feel like it's so much harder on us to sort of stay stuck where you are versus just doing it, right? Yes. And so we've adapted sort of that mindset. And I think talking about it, and again, I hope that people that are listening will understand it's not minimizing anxiety because it's real and it's debilitating and I get it, but there are ways and there's things, you know, tools you can put in your toolbox to get through it. You and I are classic examples, right? And it is so about overthinking things. I 100% agree with you with that. So I have two more questions until sadly I have to say goodbye to you temporarily. I have a very important question to ask you. What does it mean to you to be unbreakable?
And
everybody, I want to say this, so it'll give you a second to think as well, is that everybody, doesn't matter, everybody, and I never prepare people for that question. And then afterwards, they're like, I should have known you were going to ask that. But it's such a loaded question because there's so many facets to that sort of statement. So let me sort of rephrase it. What does that statement mean to you? So if you hear I am unbreakable or unbreakable, what does that mean to you? Maybe not personally, but what do you think?
Immediately what comes to my mind is no matter how many times I've been knocked down, and there's been a lot. I mean, there's been a lot of public humiliation. There's been a lot of diversity. There's been a lot of naysayers, the haters. No matter how many times I've been knocked down, I've always gotten back up. Doesn't matter. And that's what it means to be unbreakable.
I knew it. I love that. And that's sort of, you know, the same thing, very similar to what I think as well, is like, you know, it's life. To me, I look at it as a road, and you know, there's bumps, there's potholes, there's full on like mudslides, right? But you know, you get into the thick of it, but you just know that the way that I look at what you're saying too, is you know that regardless of whatever you've gone through, you know, you can bend, things can happen, but you're not going to break.
Nope.
You are unbreakable. And yeah. And that's exactly the way that I see it too. Okay. Last question. Then I've got to say goodbye to my sister. Can you share anything that is next for you that you can cut? I mean, we've kind of shared a few things that you and I are going to do together, but is there anything, and I know of one really exciting thing you've got coming up, that you're going to be doing, and I'll have all your socials and all your stuff in the description so people can follow you and all the amazingness that you're doing. But do you want to just tell people sort of something you're doing and that's coming up?
Sure. I'm actually going to be on a panel Vic Tippins is hosting it for RiseCon, so I'll be on a panel. I know Emily Ford will be there. I believe Deion Sanders, Ray Lewis, A-Rod. So it's a huge convention of entrepreneurs that's taking place in Tampa at the JW Marriott. And then following that in the summer, I have a book that is going to be released. So super excited about that. And as far as the rest, I mean, like I said, I'm just winging it out here. I'm really just winging it out. But those are the two big things that are coming up.
That's awesome. Well, you're doing a great job winging it. And you're definitely, you know, an angel in disguise, because what you are doing, people don't even achieve in a lifetime. So bravo. Love you to pieces. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. Love you. And we shall chat soon.
I love you.